Blog Talk Radio.
On a hill far away stood the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, and I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Over 2,000 years ago, you did something that was so marvelous that it's mind-blowing to us. How you decided to shed your blood so that we can walk in the newness of life and have the opportunity to lift our hands and say, Abba, Father. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark hell for me. Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Someday for a crown, I shall wear a crown and exchange it someday for a crown. One of these old days.
Praise God.
Welcome to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. I'm so excited tonight about our topic and ministering on our topic and hearing from our callers regarding the topic. You know, the topic looks kind of worldly, wondrous attraction for me. People just don't know that that came from the song, Old Rugged Cross. That's what excited me the most. I figured I could get a lot of attention from that topic. We all know what attracts us, what's attracted to us, and sometimes we wonder, how did I attract that? You're going to find out this evening. But we give God all the praise, honor, and all the glory. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Casares, the director, CEO, and founder of Gatekeepers Ministry International. I thank you for joining us on the podcast tonight. Those of you that are streaming in from this nation and around the world, whatever time zone you're in, I appreciate, I'm grateful that you answered the Holy Spirit and streamed in and called in tonight. So I have my friend, Prophetess Iris, that's going to be ministering on the podcast tonight. And I have some callers that are going to be talking about what attracted them to their spouse. And it's really important to talk about what has attracted you to your spouse all these years. Because it's not just one day, it's not just the wedding day, it's all the years that you put into being in a marriage that God has blessed you in. And what attracts you and what keeps you attracted? Both parties have to be involved in it. So I'm going to read a scripture about Adam and Eve from Genesis chapter 2. Because, you know, God is the matchmaker, and he certainly attracted Adam to Eve and Eve to Adam as well. So let's read Genesis 2:16-18. Then Adonai Elohim said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. Let me make a well-matched helper for him." I'm reading from the Tree of Life Bible. Adonai Elohim had formed from the ground every animal of the field and every flying creature of the sky. So he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called them, each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all of the livestock and all the flying creatures of the sky and to all the animals of the field. But for the man, he did not find a well-matched helper for him. Adonai Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall on the man. Some of them are still asleep. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Adonai Elohim built the rib, which he had taken from the man, into a woman. Then he brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh from my flesh. This one is called woman, for from man was taken this one." This is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Yahshua Jesus. We lift you up and we honor you. We magnify your holy name. We ask God first that you would forgive us for our sins, that you would wash us in your precious blood and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask God that you would look upon us with your mercy and your grace tonight. We ask, Father, that you would give us your divine favor especially on this platform tonight. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that you've given us this platform, and we ask that you bless it, that you breathe upon each one of us, and, Lord, that you would get all the glory, honor, and all the praise. We dispatch angels from the throne room of God to line the heavenlies and guard and guide the frequencies and this podcast in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that your holy angels would be encamped around us. Lord God, in our homes or wherever we are, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, those that we love. We ask, God, that you would guide, guard, and direct us tonight through this podcast, that you and you alone would be glorified. So, Father, we ask that you would beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf. Cover us in the precious blood of Jesus. Cover everything that you blessed us to have in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this topic, wondrous attraction for me. Who were you talking about? Hallelujah. You look upon us from the cross, Lord God. You had us on your mind. And Lord, you rose from the dead. You ascended into heaven. And you still have us on your mind. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your holy angels encamped around us. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise God. I guess we can see from the scriptures that God is the matchmaker. Hallelujah. When we weren't saved, we didn't know that. We were attracted to all different types, colors, creeds, races, religions. I know I was. And I know that before I got saved, I was partial to a certain complexion of a man. But tonight, we have spirit-filled people, Holy Ghost-filled women that are going to share with us. Because tonight's ladies' night out. Every now and then I have a ladies' night out, and I call upon the ladies to do the ministering. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to focus on how the women feel about a wondrous attraction to them. And then we're going to find out how God felt about it. So I sincerely believe that opposites attract. And I found this definition that opposites attract used to say that people who are very different from each other are often attracted to each other. Opposites attract when it comes to your likes, dislikes, strengths, and weaknesses, the individual aspect of your personalities. But when it comes to a long-term relationship, a runner and a couch potato can find true happiness together as long as they can picture the couch in the same living room. I thought that was cute. Do opposites attract physically? We're going to talk a little bit about that. Why do I attract certain types? We're going to talk a little bit about that. What makes a woman attractive? And what every man wants in a woman. I mean, you know, some of these things in the natural do apply to relationships, whether you're saved or not. And they can all be maintained wholly. I feel like if a man wants respect, he has to give respect. I feel like some of them have to earn it. What does a woman really want in a relationship? We're going to talk about that. Is it true that opposites attract? And we're going to break that down. So I am blessed to have a young lady on my podcast. Her mother was my best friend, and her mother led me to Christ. She was backslidden when I met her, and we partied hard. when she gave her life back to Christ, everything changed in her life, and I was still not saved. Didn't know anything about being saved. She never talked to me about being saved until she gave her life back to Christ. And then she began to minister to me and prayed. She prayed me into the kingdom. And I'm so blessed and honored to have her on, her daughter on the broadcast tonight. God knows that I needed to be saved, like all of us. And I just thank God. And I thought about her daughter yesterday, and she answered to the call and said, yep, she'll do it. She's going to tell you that how many years she's been married, how she was attracted to her husband, about her children, and what exactly has kept them together. Her name is Lamar Sharon Russell Arnold. And again, I'm just honored to have this young lady on the podcast. Lamar, how are
yes.
you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed, and I'm so honored, godly proud of you, and to have you on the podcast. Now, I did share with you that you don't have to be nervous. Believe it or not, I've been doing this for maybe 8 years or more, and I'm nervous every time I get on. So if you're nervous, I understand. I get nervous too, a little tongue-tied. But if you wrote some things down or you thought about what you want to share, I really want to know what the wondrous attraction you had for your husband. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the first day I met him, it was physical, like his appearance. I was attracted to. Hello.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Cause my
I can hear you good. I can hear you. Just,
okay.
I think
yes, it was.
Okay.
It was. I was attracted to him physically, but then, you know, after talking to him and stuff, it was his personality.
Okay, how did that first conversation go?
It actually, like our first couple conversations on the phone, I didn't think it was going to last long. Like, you know, he would call me at weird times, and, you know, I really didn't like it. So I didn't like that part, like when he first started calling me. You know, I mean, he wouldn't call me, like, at a disrespectful time or anything, but it was you know, like right when I got off of work or at times when I was watching TV shows or, you know, when I just didn't like the time that he was calling me. So it went on for about a month. And then finally I agreed to meet back up with him. And when I met him that second time, I didn't even know, you know, he looked like that. And he was walking towards the car. And I'm like, is that him? Like, I was so attracted to him right then. Like, it was unbelievable. And then we went to go sit down and eat. And then I started talking to him, and I liked everything he was talking about, you know, his communication. And then from that day on, we talked, like, every day, like, nonstop. We had to, like, see each other, be around each other, you know. And it went from there. And we, 10 years later, like, we're still, you know, have to be around each other.
So it sounds like your second meeting did it. So where did you first meet?
Right. We met at a club.
Okay.
It was a nightclub in Philly.
So he was, did you dance together? Did he ask you to dance, or he just came over and introduced himself to you?
We were in the VIP section, me and my girlfriend, and his friends came over, and they asked, like, to buy us, because this particular place has, like, really good food and stuff. as well, and they asked if we want anything off the menu, and they bought us everything we wanted off the menu, and bottles of wine and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I still was, like, sitting away from him, and then he asked for me to come over to him. And then we talked for a little while, and we exchanged phone numbers and stuff. And actually, another one of his friends was trying to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had explained to him, like, you know, your friend is, and then he didn't even know. He had no idea. So he went to go speak to his friend. Because to this day, they make a joke about it all the time or whatever. Because he at first he told him he wasn't trying to talk to me. But now, years later, he did admit, like, you know, I did try to talk to her. I'm like, I know, yes.
Okay.
And he was disrespectful a little bit, too. So, you know, that's why he was, like, lying about it at first. So, yeah, like, we met at the night.
You've been married 10 years?
It'll be 10 years in November 11th.
Hmm.
We got married 11-11-11. Yeah.
Okay. So what keeps you attracted?
Yep, I met him in 09.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
What keeps the attraction going?
His personality, like, he's real funny. Like, even when I'm really mad at him, I could be so mad. He knows how to make me laugh. Even at times, like, you know, I didn't think it was going to last or work or whatever. You know, he always knew how to, like, get me back, like, woo me, you know. He just knows, and it's really, like, his personality that keeps me with him, and I'm still attracted to him. You know, he's a very attractive man. You know, I still like his appearance and stuff. And he keeps himself up,
him
too,
that,
like, you know.
Okay, so when you saw him that second date, something
uh-huh.
must have sparked your interest.
Yes, because the first
time
I tell him all the time, like, you didn't look, like, I forgot or something. I don't know what it was. It was like, I'm like, he coming to, I'm like, that's him? Then I had to call him real quick. And I said, are you walking toward the car? And he was like, yeah, that's me. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I didn't even realize he had looked like that night in the club.
Okay.
Yep.
God shine the light, the handsome light on him, huh?
Or something, yes. Yes.
That's good. That's good. So how do you two celebrate each other?
Well, you mean like celebrate like when we go out
does
on our dates and stuff?
For,
or just
does he just wait for anniversaries and birthdays to give you flowers?
No, because he always says, you know, like, we celebrate each other all year long. You know, Valentine's Day, birthdays, you know, that's just a day to us. Because we celebrate. I mean, he does get me things and stuff on the holidays and stuff. Like, you know, we do things for each other on the holidays. But we celebrate each other all year long. Like, he might surprise me with something,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I always make a joke to him that I'm not a flower person. So he'll get
mm-hmm.
me other stuff. So
okay.
he does once in a while get me flowers and stuff. I mean, it's nice sometimes. But I do like other stuff besides flowers.
Well, do you mind sharing with us one or two of your challenges in your marriage?
Okay. Like a challenge right now.
You don't have to be too personal.
Okay. Sometimes, like, when he's upset about something.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's, like, right about it, sometimes he just doesn't know how to say, like, he'll just go right in. You know, and I tell him all the time, like, even though you're right about something, you still should know how to speak to me. Like, you know, and I know you're upset about it and stuff, but you just can't get upset because usually I'll just, you know, at that moment I'll just walk away from him and then talk about it later to him. And then he does apologize and stuff. And he knows it's
mm-hmm.
something he has to work on. But for the most part, we are like each other's best friends. Like, you know, even when I'm about to go out with my friends or something, you know, he wants to go or has to be around me, or as soon as I come back home, you know, he makes sure he's available and wants to know what happened and everything that went on.
That's good.
You know, yeah, he's kind of like jealous a little bit how I am with my friends.
Because
he knows I'm like real caring. I will go over and beyond for my friends and stuff. And I think he's a little jealous of that stuff somewhere. So a lot of times I think that's why he wants to go like with me and my friends and stuff. And, you know, because he'll be like, okay, why did you do that for them again? Or, you know. But I do the same for him, you know, and I'll go over and beyond for him all the time. But he's a little jealous of that with me and my friends.
Does your marriage make a difference because you love the Lord?
Yes. Yes, it is a difference because, like, not too long ago, like, I told him, like, because we were going through a lot at that particular time, and I told him, like, the things that we're going through, I'm like, God is calling us because he wasn't paying any attention to him. And I'm like, we need to, he wants us to seek him, and we're not at all. Neither one of us was coming to him, and he was, you know, calling out to both of us. And we were ignoring him and weren't even trying to go that way. And it was like, as soon as we both started going back to church and stuff, that's when, you know, everything else started falling into place.
Well, praise God.
So, right.
Well, that's something to take note to, for real, for real. You know, because you're young, and I want to say again to those that may have just called in or streamed in, that Lamar's mother was my best friend, one of three or four best friends that I have. And she, her name was Linda, too, and she actually prayed me into the kingdom. And I can honestly say that it was because of her prayers and her life in Christ that I got saved. So it's important for me to just stress that. And I'm so glad that Lamar is married with a fine husband, handsome. And I do watch her Facebook pictures of all her friends, and she has some friends that know how to celebrate each other. And also her husband and her take vacations and enjoy each other. So I'm just, I'm glad. Is there anything else you want to say about your relationship or your wondrous attraction to your husband and his attraction to you?
No, that's basically it.
Okay.
Just that both of us love each other, and we're in this forever. We don't have any plans on giving up on one another. Sometimes we say it to each other, like if we're mad or something, but, you know, we're for life. Like, we're not going to leave one another.
Well, that honors God, and because divorce is not an option. And I get it.
That's right.
That's what I say. If I ever marry, divorce is not an option. So it has to be God-ordained, God-spoken, God-initiated, this wondrous attraction that I would have for this man and him for me. So thanks, Lamar.
Yes.
Thanks for being part of the podcast tonight.
You're more than welcome.
I want all the listeners to know that after we go off the air in another 45, 50 minutes, this podcast will be on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And if you're married or you are thinking about being married and you would like to share your attraction to your mate and how that came about, if God gave it to you or you just are feeling that way, you can press 1 and I'll open your mic and let you share. Thank you, Lamar. I love you, girl. Stay safe.
You're welcome. I love you too.
Your husband, I said thank you for lending you to me for a half an hour. God bless
okay.
you.
Okay. God bless you.
So I want to open Prophetess Iris's mic, and I want to hear how she was wondrously attracted to her husband. And then shortly after that, I'm going to give her an opportunity to minister on this topic. So, Prophetess Iris, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
So tell us, how were you wondrously attracted to your husband?
Well, I got married back in Pakistan, so that's almost like 29 years ago. So we are almost completing, almost closing, getting close to the 30 years. So it's many, many years of marriage. And, you know, her mom and my mom were friends from the young age. They worked together. Then they were in a different city. So, you know, how it's like a family get together. So we get to meet each other because It's a family friendship, so family friends, you can say. So we were attractive. Of course, the first is always the physical attraction, and then physical attraction always gets deeper in a couple when they get to know each other, they understand each other, and they just, you know, respect each other, honor each other. You know, the girls, I think, always like to be, you know, like get the attention from men as if they are their princess or they're everything for them. And this is how he approached me. And that was part of the reason that I was attracted to him a lot, because he really gave me the value and the love. And I felt confident that he's the right man and right person to spend my whole life in. And of course, it was like arranged marriage. And, you know, in those culture, it's always like, you know, families are always part of the marriage. And we also liked each other. We also, you know, and get attracted to each other before we got married.
So your marriage was an arranged marriage?
It was both, because we did like each other. He did propose to me. He did ask me first. So it was not totally arranged. It was both ways, half and half. I would say 70% we were more attracted to each other. We liked each other first. And then, of course, the you know, family was involved, and this is how our marriage was arranged.
Well, praise God. I've known you all this time, and I never knew that your marriage was practically arranged by your two families. Wow. I know that in other countries they do that. And I'm going to tell you something. In the Bible, they were arranged marriages, and all through the Old Testament. And that's exciting, because not only were the families arranged it, but they were divinely led. They were, which gives us the right to say that God arranged those marriages, and they lasted forever. And wow, praise God. I did not know that, but that's good to know, because even now I believe that if we leave it up to God, you know, to arrange our relationships, our marriage, our friendships, that they would last longer, you know. And both Lamar and Prophetess Iris shares that at first they were attracted to one another physically. So there's nothing wrong with that. And Adam was truly attracted to Eve. It didn't say what Eve said when she saw Adam, but we know what Adam said when he saw Eve. So is there anything else you want to say about your attraction to your husband? 29 years of marriage. How do you make that work?
Well, when it comes to the marriage and you want to keep it forever, it comes with a lot of, you know, seasons in a marriage. Of course, you know, I think, and I want to talk about that in the sermon also, like a couple starts the marriage, you know, physically attracted to each other, and they're passionate for each other, and then you have your children, and then you have the seasons of life comes in from time to time as the kids are growing up. So I think in a couple, when they get married, we go through several seasons of different forms of love and passion and compassion, and of course sometimes conflicts and fights and understanding. So it's a process, and to make up your marriage and always stay in marriage, we can do it all through Christ Jesus. I think when we have the Lord as a head of the house in our home, and we have Him first in our lives, He helps us to stay in that relationship, in that love and respect and care, and help us prolong our marriage and make it successful. I think that's part of the reason also. And, of course, there is no marriage without challenges. No matter if it's a Romeo and Juliet marriage, 6 months after, it can fall into a divorce. It can be easy. But, you know, we had always respected. One thing that that has always kept my relationship with my husband is that I know he truthfully loves me. He truthfully honors me. And he cares about me and his children. So it's a faithfulness, you know, as the Lord and our relationship with the Lord is built on faith and a trust. And this is what's the core reason for our successful marriage.
Well, thank you, Prophetess Iris. I'll bring you back on in a few minutes. I want to share this with our listeners. What every man wants in a woman. Men are visual. They fall in love with their eyes first. Men want brains. Any smart man wants a smart woman. Men love independent women. Men need to feel needed. Men appreciate open communication. Men like when you stay sexy. Men like manners. That's what I found in something that I was reading online. And I believe that all of that is true. How do you know if you're not meant for each other? If you or your partner feel the need to lie about anything, big or small, then you are probably not meant to be together. Lying about things makes you lose trust, and when you lose trust, it is tough to get it back. Little lies turn into big lies and often spiral out of control. I think that is so significant. That's so significant for a person like me being single. I'm not looking for a man, but God knows that I do desire to get married at some point in my life. But you can't have what Lamar has for 10 years and be a liar in the relationship. You can't have what Prophetess Iris has in her marriage for 29 years and be a liar. That will cause a relationship even with someone that you think is your friend, because normally friends don't lie to friends, and normally the type of relationship that God would have us in, a marital relationship, honesty is a priority. So I have another friend that has called in, Sister Pat, and she's going to share with us what attracts her to a mate. Pat, your line is open. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. What would attract you to the mate? Because I do desire to have a mate one day. And what would attract me to a mate? Because everybody has their likes, likes and dislikes. And it have to be some attraction there. Just like he have to be attracted to me and I have to be attracted to him. That's a natural aspect. I mean, that's a natural thing, whether you saved or not saved. But the main thing I would like that's attracted to a man is honesty. And if you can't be honest and lying and when it's time to go on a date, you standing me up 3 and 4 times and talking about if you pay the money, if you pay the money when we go out and I invest you and all that, I don't need that foolishness. And what attracts me to a man is a man that's really saved, truly loved the Lord, and truly is going to be what he say he's going to be and live the life that he talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise God, because I'm not into paying for no dinners. I'm not into paying
me
for
either.
Uber.
I'm not into,
you know, there are,
none of that.
You know, at my age, you certainly got to have something other than appealing to me one-on-one. Like Lamar was talking about when her husband approached her the second time, God had shined a light on that man, and it excited her. So we know that the physical attraction is important, and that's usually what works for us in the very beginning. So when you're when a man is pursuing you or dating you, and you're dating him, and he's at dinner, do you really think he's going to expect you to foot the bill?
No, he's going to be a gentleman. I have went out before the pandemic. This man, he did take me out for breakfast practically every Sunday after we got out of church. And he did not want me to pay for the bill not one time. That was just a person that was taking me out. I don't think it was going to lead to no marriage or anything, but I think he just was being a gentleman. But this is how a saved man, a not saved or saved or unsaved, I don't think nobody, no woman should be a fool and pay for no man dinner just to win somebody. Because if somebody really cared for you and really want to do the right thing, they would do the right thing.
Amen. That's right. So here's a question. What does a woman really want in a relationship? What do you really want in a relationship, Pat?
What I really want is a man, like I say, truly saved and really love the Lord, and I want to be married, and I want in a relationship. We go out together, we read the Bible together, we go to church together. I'm 67 years old. And if the Lord permits, we never know when the Lord's going to take us home. I just want to enjoy him and he enjoy me, and we serve the Lord and we just be happy in Jesus and do what the Lord called both of us to do.
Praise God, like ministry.
Right.
Okay, so women need men to show kindness, patience, understanding, empathy, and compassion. Regardless of the type of excuse me?
And love me for me, like, other words, love me for me like I love him for him. Like, if I have a disability, I want him to love me with the disability. This is what I'm saying. Love me for me.
Mm-hmm. So regardless of the type of relationship, whether you're friends or married, men and women should be considerate of each other's feelings. So that is very important. I particularly want a man that is full of empathy. I can't deal with a cold-hearted person that has no that cannot express empathy towards me. And if he doesn't can't do that, and he's pursuing me, then it's going to end right there, because there's no compassion and empathy. I have found in the church that a lot of church leaders are more, I shouldn't say more apathetic than empathetic, but I have found and I have come across many church leaders that have no empathy. If it's not their family, if it doesn't affect them, they don't know how to empathize with people. They're very apathetic, right. Standoffish to your situation. I'm talking about pastors and leaders in every position in the church, that for the 40 years that I've been saved, I've come across quite a few of them that do not express empathy. It's one thing to do a funeral because you're going to get paid to do it. It's another thing to express empathy and be sincere about it, you know, to the family members. And just because you may know a person, but you may not know them personally, just extending empathy helps in a relationship. So is there anything else that you'd like to say, Pat, concerning your wondrous attraction to a man?
That's just about all.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate you calling in. I believe in chemistry. Okay, so I believe that there has to be some chemistry, and
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, there may not be chemistry, sparks fly right away. But at some point in the near future, if you're seeing someone or someone's pursuing
you, know
you
what? They don't have to be, they don't have to be no real big person in the church. They don't have to be no singer. They don't have to be no evangelist and all that kind of stuff. Long as they're a person that loves the Lord and honors, and our marriage be, you know, the last until Jesus comes. And you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people that's evangelists and all that kind of stuff, a lot of them sometimes is not sincere.
Yeah.
Not about the title. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know you, girl. And I do believe that when God created Eve for Adam, he did not give Adam a choice to pick from five women. I heard Bishop Jake say many years ago that in this day and time, we can't feel like there's only one person in the world that's just made for us. Well, I had a problem with that because there was only one person made for Adam. The whole world was made, but God didn't make five women for Adam to choose one of the five. He made one woman for Adam, and I do believe I've heard so many testimonies from Bishop Granham's church, who was in Philadelphia where my cousin went to church, and many visiting couples at his church talk about how God revealed the man to the woman first or the other way around, and how there was a lot of distance between them geographically, and he brought them back together, and how even though they were dating, the Lord told the man that he could not lust after her, and there's a difference between lust and holiness. And
yeah,
so,
that's right.
I do believe that if you have a certain communication with God, that he will reveal to you who his choice for you is. And if you let him, he will lead you across that path. Now, I know Lamar's mother, who was my best friend, she was married to her husband a long time. I don't know how many years she was married. Lamar, do you know how many years your mother and father were married?
49. It was almost 50 years before my dad passed.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. So 50 years of marriage, that's a long time today. And I know it wasn't without challenges, because Linda was my best friend, and I was her confidant, and she was mine. So you don't go 50 years of marriage and without challenges, major challenges. So, and here her daughter is progressing through a marriage for 10 years, and so I applaud that. I really do. So, Pat, I appreciate you sharing with us about our topic, Wondrous Attraction for Me. And I just believe God that he has a mate just for you, and that you continue to walk the path of righteousness for his name's sake, and you'll walk right into the pathway of that mate. I just believe that that's how God does it, his way. So God bless you, and thanks for joining us. I thank all the listeners that have called in and that are streamed in. I want to read this. What makes a woman attractive? Most people list a good sense of humor as being on the top of the list of qualities they're looking for in a potential partner. A lot of people I hear say a good sense of humor. What women find attractive in someone that can make them laugh. I mean, some women will laugh at your corny jokes. Well, if the joke is corny, I might chuckle but say, well, that was corny, you know. But it comes natural for some of us to have a sense of humor, and I'm grateful for that. So what I like is that opposites do attract, and when it comes to your likes and dislikes, strengths and weaknesses, the individual aspects of your own personality brings those strengths and weaknesses. I do believe that opposites attract. I believe that that it makes the relationship more interesting. It really does. What do I attract? Why do I attract certain types? Whether in a romantic or a platonic relationship, we all attract certain types of people into our lives based on our attitude, personality, and other factors. It happens even though our happiness partially depends on having relationships with others that will allow us to grow and share common interests with. That's why we have friends. That's why a powerful relationship, I believe, is God-led and God-designed, and he puts his stamp on it concerning marriage. I mean, if you look through the Old Testament, all the marriages there were ordered by the Lord, were designed by God, all of them. And look at Eliezer that went out to get Isaac a wife. Isaac didn't have a clue what she would look like when he brought her back. Abraham had trusted this man to go the extra mile. Eliezer put a fleece out concerning the woman that would give water to his camels, and there he found Isaac's mate. My God, I mean, look at the miles, look at the faith, look at the direction, the path, the guidance that he specifically had, honoring his boss Abraham, and also his desire for his son to have a wife. So it was just totally arranged and just beautiful and powerful. So we know that God can give us the chemistry. He knows who he has just for us. I sincerely believe in that. I know that no relationship, even friendships with girlfriends and guy friends, have their challenges. But when you respect each other, and when you're honest, I remember Pastor Pinnock, my Philly pastor, he used to tell me when I was growing up in the church, you're honest to a fault. You'll get your own self in trouble. And so he said he only knew one other person that was as honest as me, and this was this woman in the church that was much older than me. But I used to confide in Pastor Pinnock, and he used to tell me that he doesn't see honesty in people like he would see in me. But I thank God for that trait. So if you're on the line and you want to share something with us or you have a question, you can press 1 and I'll open your line. But I just want to say before I bring Prophetess Iris on again to minister on this wonderful topic, that these words, wondrous attraction for me, are in the song, Old Rugged Cross. Because this Jesus is living proof that opposites do attract. None of us are like him. We weren't like him before we got saved. But he was attracted to us even in our sin. He was attracted to us going up Calvary, the Via Della Rosa. He was attracted to us while he hung on the cross with shame in front of the world. He was attracted to us when he knew that he was going down under the earth to take the keys of death and the grave from Satan. He was attracted to us. He was even attracted to the people down there and gave them another opportunity to believe on him. Hallelujah. So these words, wondrous attraction for me, should give you some security in yourself, some stability, some like, some love for yourself, that Almighty God, Yeshua Jesus, has a wondrous attraction for you, not like no man can have for you, not like no friend, not like your parents. Oh, when you came out of the womb and your mother and father first saw you and you were just you were just the love of their life. Until you got to toddler age, the terrible twos, and was touching everything. Then you had to be scolded and molded. Still, that kind of love that our parents had for us was not like the love that Jesus Christ was attracted to us. He saw us in our sin and knew that we needed him. He saw us in our sin and was so attracted to us that it thrilled him to send the Holy Spirit to draw us to him, because we can't come unless he draws us. Thrilled that we would say yes to his will and yes to his way. Just thrilled. world that we would come to know that his name is above every name, that we would come to know that the blood that drained from his hands, his feet, his head was going to be the blood that we would be covered in one day, was going to be the blood that saved us. For without the shedding of his blood, there was no remission of our sins. So this wondrous attraction for you and for me, for your children, your spouse, my spouse, for your grandchildren and their children, was an opposite attraction. Oh, people talk out of their flesh and say you got to be alike because they're so full of themselves and so much pride that they could not believe that they would be attracted to somebody that was opposite of them. But if anybody was opposite of Jesus, it was all of us. And he was attracted to what was opposite, what is opposite to himself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Adonai. Glory, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world was opposite to all of us. When I saw that topic, that was my first thought. Here, this man, this Almighty God, opposite of who I am, and still attracted to me, still drawing me closer, still wanting a more personal relationship with me, still decided before the foundation of the world that he was going to die on the cross for you, for your mother, for your father, for my parents, hallelujah, for our children. What a wondrous attraction. My God, it makes me just want to cry right now. That somebody would want to be that attracted to me in my sin, when I didn't have a clue that he was wooing me, that he was saving my life, that he was sparing my life, that he had a call on my life. Not a clue in my sin. A staunch Catholic, went to church almost every Sunday and partied all week. Didn't get me saved a bit. Never led me into a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I do have Catholic friends that are saved, that are born-again Christians, but that didn't get me saved. I was just as good a Catholic as I was a sinner. I stopped going to confession when I was in high school. Something happened to me where I stood up in the Catholic school religion class and told the nun that I didn't believe in confession because that priest in the booth did not die on a cross for me. Still in my sin, didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but I knew that much. I wasn't going in no dark booth anymore talking to this man through a screen, telling him my sins, and he telling me to say 5 Hail Marys and 3 Our Fathers. Because that didn't do it. But I didn't know at the time that didn't do it. But when I felt that way and said it to the nun in front of the class, she said, well, if you don't believe in it, Linda, then don't do it. That shocked me and probably the whole class. Because I was just in high school. But I praise God that I was honest enough, even at that time, and I think that's what she respected, that I was honest enough to say, in a respectful way, that this is not something I believe in anymore. I didn't stop going to the Catholic Church. I just stopped going to confession. So I just praise God. I hope you got my point. I hope this is lasting forever in all your relationships, And if your friends don't know the wondrous attraction that God has for them, then you need to tell them. Or you need to tell them that they can hear this podcast on demand. I bless God for this opportunity. I thank you all for joining. I'm going to put Prophetess Iris on so she can share what God has given her about the wondrous attraction for me. Prophetess Iris, your mic is open. It's all yours.
Well, praise the Lord for this word and everything you have spoken. It's so true. It's so beautiful that, you know, the God who is the creator of the universe, who is so glorious, who is so holy, so pure, and who is so great and so mighty, so awesome God, and how he loved us so much. Like, and, you know, he has called us his bride, and he has called us his beloved, and he loved us so much. You know, we humans are just dust who are made with dust and is going to die and will be buried in dust. And who are we? Yet God loved us so much. It's beautiful. And that's all is about. And, you know, like, it all begins from God and it all ends with him. And our lives on earth, you know, being a man, being a woman, being a young girl, a young man, and this is definitely a girl's night out today, and we are talking about a relationship of a man and woman. And you did read, you know, from Genesis that God created the Adam and Eve and a perfect match he made in the beginning, and that was his divine plan, a relationship of a man and woman. How beautiful plan of God is. Everything about God is so perfect, and everything that he ordered and ordained is made with order and plan, and everything about him is glorious. Yet we look at the life today, our lives of many, many couples out there. We look at many divorces out there, separations out there. We look at some happy marriages also. We look at young men and women falling in love with each other with so many hopes and promises in their hearts, and start a new journey of their life. It's all so beautiful, so glorious. God is in there, which is a relationship. And God desires a relationship with his people as a bride of Christ. And this is how good God also looks at us, his perfect, holy, beautiful bride, without any speck, without any, you know, weakness, without any sin, without any unholiness, purity. And, you know, when men and women fall in love with each other and they are thinking about starting a relationship, spending a life with each other, they want to see the same in each other too. They not only physical attraction, they also want to see the holiness in relationship. They also want to see the commitment in relationship. They want to have a happy, everlasting life. But many times in life, it doesn't happen that way. It comes with many wounds and sorrows and rejects, and how we can make it perfect the way God has planned for us to do. And I'm going to talk about a few things right from the scriptures, from different parts, and talk about that, because this is my prayer and this is my heartfelt desire for every person out there listening to have that life of fulfillment. That I pray that we will not see any divorces out there. That, you know, how in olden days We had the Golden Jubilee, Silver Jubilee, maybe Diamond Jubilees out there. I pray that it continues in that same manner. So, you know, let's try to learn something right from the heart of God. What God desires in our lives today. What are we lacking and how we can fix it? So first thing, I'm going to give the example of Miriam and Martha. We know that, you know, these are the two sisters that Jesus had, you know, visited with, you know the story of Lazarus when he died, and Miriam and Martha were home, and they sent the call to Jesus Christ that, Jesus, you come and come down and, you know, that Lazarus is so sick. But Jesus was delayed, and in that event, Lazarus died. In John chapter 11, after Lazarus died, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, a town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you loved is sick. So when we are reading these verses, we are reading a lot about love, that, you know, that there is a passion between Jesus, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, and you know, all the brothers and sisters. It's a very deep relationship that the Lord had with them. So, and because in the scriptures it also said, who you love is sick. So, and Mary was a woman, was a sister who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped with her hair. So it really tells us that how much Mary loved her. Out of all the three brothers and sisters, they all loved the Lord very deeply. But Mary is a character that I really want to point to, because I believe that this is a relationship, if we have with the Lord, to that, you know, level or that passion or in that depth, then we are going to live our life in every area of our life with success. And we are going to make our life fruitful, peaceful, full of glory and peace and rest in the Lord. So Mary was the one who had wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. And I was reading about the story of Ruth as well. You remember that in the story of Ruth and Boaz, Ruth laid down at the feet of Boaz, and she uncovered his feet and laid on his feet. So that was more like the symbol that she had. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, was the redeemer of Ruth, and it was the obligation, more like he's going to get married with her, and her act was more like the act of submission, that she was submitting to Boaz that he is going to marry her. So that was the relationship of marriage. And when I was reading about Mary, that how she was the woman who had put the fragrant oil at the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. So that commitment, that submission, that humility, that passion, that, you know, you bow down at the feet of the master and submit yourself, totally submit yourself, and this is the way that Mary, Boaz, had this in the relationship Mary had with the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and Ruth had with Boaz as her kinsman redeemer, as her husband, a supporter, a lover, a caregiver. And I also was reading about, you know, how it was like when disciples and Jesus were at the home of the same family, Martha and Mary. And in Luke chapter 10, we also read about how Martha was working in the kitchen and was taking care of everything. But Mary was so lost at his feet, and she was sitting down literally at the feet of Jesus. And in verse 39, we read that she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. And when Martha came up, that Lord, tell her to come and help me and help me with the chores. Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried, troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which not be taken away from her. So this is a nugget. I will tell you and ask you that pray for that intimacy with the Lord. Because when we have that intimate relationship with the Lord, this is a way that we are going to be living a life of fulfillment in a personal life, in our marriages, with the children, with the family, in every area of our life. We can live a life of fulfillment when we live with those principles of the total submission. God has told us that, wife, submit yourself to the husband. And he also told in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 8, in 19, husband, love your wife. Do not be bitter towards them. So there is a commitment for men and women both to live the life the way Jesus was to their wives, to the church, that, you know, he loved his wife, he loved his church, he loved his people. And in the same way, the wives are supposed to submit to husband like we submit to the Lord. And it's impossible that we can submit to the husband in the world if we are not living in glory of God. We need to first learn how to submit to the Lord. When we are doing that, then we are walking with God. We are knowing the scripture. We are living in the Shekinah glory of God. Because when we surrender ourselves to the Lord first, just like Mary was, she was so lost in passion for Jesus in every part that you can see her going an extra step, an extra mile to her union, to her unity and love with God. And that's the only way we can do it in our life also. Many people are going and looking for their life partners. They're searching and looking and getting distressed over that. You know, we are not supposed to get distressed over anything. If it's a God's will for us to be married or to be single or to whenever to find the life partner, it's very important to pray about that, because God is the one who is a matchmaker. I was listening to the sermon of Benny, and he was talking about the walking in spirit, like, you know, how to walk through the Holy Spirit and walk with God in the power of Holy Spirit, in Shekinah glory, in that kind of a walk, of supernatural walk with God. And someone told him that, Benny, now go and find a wife. And he said, how would I find a wife? So the person who was telling him to find the wife, he said, the way God has given you the ministry, he's going to give you the wife as well. As we read the story of Isaac, how God has made him a matchmaker, because many times the couples go out, the girls go out and go on the dating network and looking for the life partners, and they're searching and looking and go for one disappointment to the second disappointment to the third disappointment. And with so many rejections in their life, it wounds them, it hurts them, it leaves that room of the enemy to come and destroy them. And it takes them into the cycle of, you know, going to the wrong person, finding the wrong person again and again. And it goes through several separations, maybe divorces, and not satisfaction at all. And this is not the way God desires his people to be. God really wants his people to live in 100% faith in God, walk with God in total surrender to God's decision, because God has already planned your life. God has already have your life partner. You know, it's very important to pray about that and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Holy Spirit is a powerful spirit, is a power of God, can bring that person in your life. Important thing is to pray about that. And once you find that person in your life, you're going to commit to that person, you're going to marry to that person. But enemy is the one who loves to destroy the relationship. The number one focus of the devil is to break the houses, break the family, bring the conflicts, divorce, fight, and all those things. And if you and your husband cannot walk with God 101 and put God first, it's impossible to have that relationship go the long way. It's going to be division. It's going to be separation. It's going to be divorce, because that's the enemy desires to do, causes the divisions in the houses. And this is the reason why there's so many singles out there. There's so many divorces out there, because the people are lacking the presence of God in their life. And in my personal life, I have gone through several situations in my life many times. Like, you know, there is conflict when it comes to the children, their decisions. But there's so many areas of life that you go through, the family situations and challenges, some financial situations, some ups and downs, some storms come and hit your home. And when you're not grounded in the Word, when you're not grounded in your walk with God, and when the Holy Spirit is not in your midst, you are not going to survive. It's impossible. And this is what God desires you to be strong, to make him the head of the household. And the head of the man is the Lord, and woman's head is the husband. So there is an order, there's a pattern that God has ordained for a household, and it's so important that we are submissive to that pattern. A man needs to be the spiritual leader of the home, and many times it doesn't happen. It's heartbreaking, it's very sad, it should not be that, but God has made woman a helper. God has created you ladies a helper. Eve was a helper for Adam. It's so important that we pray, we intercede for our husbands, for our life partners to walk with God. My husband had just left Philadelphia and came to Georgia, and of course the change of job, and you know, change is not easy, and he's a kind of a person who don't like change. He's comfortable at one place, and he wants to be comfortable in that area. So somehow he has gone through the change, and he was distressed, and somehow there was a little conflict in that situation, and he was upset, and there was some kind of a, I felt in home that there's a separation. It's kind of like emotional, and separation was going on because enemy looked for the opportunity to cause the separation. So it's, you know, you ladies, you are the helper. So when the things like that crawl in your home, in your relationship between you and your husband, it's very important to get strong and discern what's causing it. Of course, we comfort and counsel each other. Husbands need to counsel wives, and wives need to counsel husband when it's needed. But more than that, it's very important to pray. To pray and ask the Spirit, command the spirits to be gone. Because when these things happen, there's always the powers of darkness want to come in and cause the conflict, and it takes the conflict to the point that it causes separation. And I started praying about that, and God had turned him back to himself, and now my husband is back to the Lord. You know, he has been with the Lord, but somehow when you're distressed, you get separate from God and separate from all things. Your prayer life start to get weakened. The moment your prayer life start to get weakened, enemy come and cause a separation between the family members. And this is exactly what's happening. But I started interceding and praying and rebuking the spirits. I started talking to the Holy Spirit and said, God, you're going to change the heart. You're going to work on that and make the things work. So somehow God comforted, God fixed, God has really restored all things back. But it cannot happen without the prayer of a helping woman. You women are very important in God's kingdom. God had born you. God had given birth to woman. You know, it was not from the soil of earth, but it was through the rib of Adam. It was a flesh to flesh. So you are a part of your life partner's flesh, and an enemy knows that. And I can tell you one thing, that you are strong. You can fight your battles. You can restore, you can help restore your family back into unity, union, love, and let your marriage keep moving on. And it can keep moving on only through the Holy Spirit. You know that where there's a glory of God, you know, as we read in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the presence of Most High. Because when you are going to live in the presence of Most High, there is no way enemy can come and destroy your life. Your children are going to excel. Your family is going to blossom. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be increased. You're going to be prosperous. These are the promises of God for you, ladies. And tonight is a ladies' night. So why not take all the authority the Lord has given you? The Lord has given you amazing responsibility, amazing authority. And, you know, without a woman, there is no reproduction. There is no increase. There is no fruitfulness, no blessing. And, you know, in Asian cultures, in Eastern cultures, you know, when the daughters are born, they think that it's really a blessing that the daughter has come. And I really, in my home, my daughter is such a blessing. She is amazing. My heart blesses her. She's so caring, loving, sensitive, and all those good things are in her. The daughters are that way. The wives are that way. And our husbands, they really need that backbone. We are their partners. And in order to have our life sustained, our marriages sustained, you are the main part of that relationship. So don't give up. Many times the challenges may come. Enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. It could be another woman who may be coming in between the relationship between you and your husband. But you know what? We don't fight against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness. Walk in the glory of God. Walk in the Shekinah of God. And walk in God, in Christ. You know, live in Christ. Die in Christ. think in Christ. It just be with him 24/7. He's going to empower you on a daily basis. It's everyday walk. It's every minute walk. It's every second walk with the Lord. That's going to help
Amen.
You sustain, get strong. And you know, you women are not weak. You're the strongest one in the whole world. God needs women. You girls are so precious, so important
Hallelujah.
For his kingdom work. And you know what? A family is restored, established by a mother, by a wife, by a daughter. And you know, we are the core of a relationship. And I pray and bless you. Bless your life, bless your relationship, bless your children, bless all things that the Lord has given you. And may Lord bless your marriages the way the Lord has married you. I pray that your marriage is sustained forever in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Well, praise God. I am elated about how this podcast has turned out. I was just playing it by ear, but I believe that God has gotten all the glory. Thank you, Prophetess Iris, my friend. I appreciate all the ministry that God has given you and all that you've shared with us tonight. Thank you, Lamar, my best friend's daughter. I miss her so much. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate you. And Deacon Sherry, I see that you've been with us tonight. I appreciate all you bring to the table. She's a friend of mine from church, and God has blessed her with the desire of her heart, and she'll be getting married soon. I really do appreciate you joining us, Deacon Sherry. So God bless you, everybody. I'm going to close the broadcast tonight by saying only what you do for Christ will last. Tell somebody about this podcast on the Wondrous Attraction for Me at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. Or you can just go to the Facebook page and click on the link, or cut and paste the link and share it with your friends. I thank everybody, especially married women and single women, need to hear this podcast. God bless you, and remember, only what you do for Christ will last. Good night.